Welcome to the official podcast of A Conscious Partner. Our initiative is bringing affordable access to relevant information for anyone in search of impactful self-development. ACP specializes in hosting growth workshops, which bring awareness to the most important topics in life. It's a place for everyone and anyone to come together with the goal of gradually culminating our own security in a fun, safe environment. And now with our hosts, Bruce Doherty, Jaggy, and Dr. Giselle Tennant, let's get into today's discussion.
Hello.
Hello.
We are back.
We are back.
Episode 9. Crazy.
Lucky number nine.
Nueve.
That's my number. Number nine.
Ach, neun. That's nine in German.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's restart. Just, you know, we have not started yet. We need that.
We can crop all that out.
Yeah. We need that clipper thing to go clip, start.
He'll be able to figure it out.
Take number four.
Yeah. Welcome back, guys.
Here we are.
Episode 9. He wanted to make the eyes again.
Yes, I'm happy to be back.
How many times have I made the eyes in the videos?
Probably a lot.
A lot.
We could probably make a compilation at the end of the season.
Cool,
of all Bruce's
eyes.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But we're back. We're officially back. It's a new day, new episode. And we're going to do something fun today.
Yes, I'm happy to be back.
What do you think we're going to do? Do you want to tell me what we're going to do?
I'm a little lost here.
Well, we're trying to, you know, just... We're trying to get to reactionary stuff. We want to look at some, I don't know, people like to ask for advice, and we figured we could go through some of these advice things and maybe see what ACP would tell them to do or how to help them along their path.
Yeah, this isn't advice if people have asked us for anything.
We're just
basically being judgy on other people.
Exactly.
That's really all we're doing.
In the nicest manner ever.
We're doing it with kindness.
Yeah, exactly. We're going off of Reddit. I just found a forum called Relationship Advice. And So Bruce and Giselle don't know...
We have no idea.
What they're going to be reacting to. I've tried to pick ones that,
and
you know.
And we all know how much I like surprises. Yeah.
A facetious sea fish.
Yes.
Say it.
I'm getting on my phone. Facetious sea fish?
There you go. You did it. So you just want to jump right into it?
Yeah.
Let's jump into it.
All right. So the first one I've pulled up, the title of it is, What's the Difference Between Red Flags and Annoyances? Their little description says, How do you define them for yourself? How do you choose which to pay attention to? I think I see red flags, but they might just be annoying things or maybe yellow flags. Curious how other people think about this. What do we think?
Where do we start?
Well, you know what? Are they the same? Annoyances and red flags?
Well, it depends on your definition of a red flag. You know, if
right.
a red flag is something that you're saying, okay, this is a deal breaker... Right? Then it's
but
a
also, why is it annoying to you, though?
Exactly.
That's the bigger question.
Yeah.
It's like,
is this really annoying, or is it just annoying to me because of who I am? Yeah. Because of my patterns, because of my attachment style, because of my personality type?
Or is it because it doesn't align with your core values?
Right. Because maybe you are being more of your authentic self,
and then they're not.
You're trying, again, we just spoke, I think, in the last episode, we talked about fantasy bond. Is this a scenario where fantasy bond could be coming into play?
Mm hmm.
We don't know. I mean, it's such a.
Do we have an example? Did you say an example of the red flag, or just says red flag?
No, he just or the person. Yeah, well, between red flags and annoyances, how do you define them for yourself?
I think that a red flag would have a pattern as well, right? Something that would come back, and then you're thinking, this really doesn't align with what I want to do. So you're starting to question yourself. You know, it's like a disruption, and you're wondering, okay, am I in the right relationship? Or
right.
But again, it's for you to define.
Right. So if I was an anxious, preoccupied attachment style. And I was in a relationship with maybe a dismissive avoidant. A red flag for me could be that they're distancing themselves. Is that a red flag? Or that they're not having the emotional conversations?
Yeah,
that
exactly.
they're...
Yeah.
They're
so the question is, though, since you're an anxious, a secure person might do that.
Right.
Create a little bit of space.
Right.
Because they're feeling the neediness. Then you call it a red flag because they're creating a little bit of space.
Right.
But it's based on your attachment style. They could be secure.
Right.
Yeah.
So
at the end of the day, really, well, to me, it's like, okay, does it make a, I was going to swear, I can't, does it make a difference?
I think you can swear.
Whether it's a red flag or an annoyance, it's something that's bugging you.
Yes.
So find out, why is it bugging you?
Yes.
Yeah, the question to ask is, why is it bothering
me?
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Red flag or not, I think exactly. They're kind of the same. They're synonymous.
Let's go to a different angle.
Yeah.
Let's go to something like a backseat driver. Like, I know I had I had that problem once. Is I'm driving, and I've lived in the city for a long time, and I know my way around the city quite well. Mm-hmm. And I was seeing somebody at the time, and they kept telling me which lane to be in, and I would, the first time was I know my way around, and I'll get there. Don't worry about it, and just enjoy the ride.
Yeah.
And then it happened again and again and again and again and again. And you realize this is not ever going to stop.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I have to ask myself that question.
Right.
Yeah.
Can I live with this for the rest of my life?
Right.
Now, I also have to ask the question, why does this bother me?
Mm-hmm.
And theoretically, it feels to me, whether not saying that she was doing it, but it felt to me like a lack of respect. It felt to me like a lack of trust.
Yeah. Micromanaging.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And that's when you can bring it up as, this does bother me. Can you not, why do you need to do that?
Right.
But if you can't have that discussion with the person.
Right.
Then, yeah.
It's
and if you approach it in a curious way, you feel like you need to tell me, trust me, we're going to get there. I've been driving for a while.
And I might just go a different way than you would.
Yeah.
Is it going to cost 30 seconds more?
Yeah.
Not a big deal.
Yeah. Yeah. So then basically what you're saying is, so it does make sense that the red flag would be more of a pattern, because the initial annoyance, you're backseat driving. And then you are able to have the conversation. If it was to continue happening, then that's when it would become a red flag, because then you have to ask yourself, if I can deal with this for the rest of my life.
And I think the key here is that not either person's wrong.
Right.
Not that she's wrong for backseat driving. It doesn't make her wrong. It means it annoys me.
I know why I backseat drive. It's usually on days where I need to feel like it's my anxious attack style. Like, I get anxious in the car when I'm not driving. I'm out of control. Like, so I know when I'm feeling insecure in that way, that's when I tend to be more of a backseat driver.
And you could
and then I drive on those days, or I try to drive on those days.
Yeah, because then you're taking control.
Then I'm taking control of the situation. Then you don't have to worry about me backseat driving.
Do you backseat drive when you're with me?
Yes.
Do you?
Yes.
We'll stop doing that.
I mean, we haven't driven in a while. No, I remember we went to, where we went for pitching lessons, and I would notice that you would go inch towards the lane, and I'm like, that's my control thing.
Or are you going to put the signal on now?
Yeah.
Like
you're
going
to put the signal on. Yeah, you didn't do it. Don't you need to get over? Like, now? Come on. Let's go. That's what it is. Okay, so we decided.
Yeah,
annoyances and red flags they're legit. Mm-hmm. You got to deal with them. But the first thing you got to ask is yourself.
That's right. Yes.
We don't have to put all the pressure on the other person. Let's ask yourself, why does this bother me? And is that something I can, and is it something I can live with for the rest of my life?
Because if you can live with it, great. Yep. If you can't, don't.
I agree. Yeah. Okay, cool. Ready for the next one?
Number two.
Okay, this one's a little bit longer, more context. The title of it is, Am I Expecting Too Much Too Fast? And in brackets is communication problems. So and I believe they say she's a female, 21 years, have been in a relationship with a male, 22 years old, for 4 months now. We seem to have a lot in common. I really enjoyed spending time with him. He brings out my best sides and I really like him. But we're now in a phase where we're starting to see differences. The differences are not the issue. The issue is that this guy cannot communicate at all. So I don't know if you want to touch on this first paragraph before I continue on.
Well, I can jump all over that one.
Because I saw that as I was reading. There's some things here that we can touch on.
Yeah, yeah.
So what are the things that we could touch on?
Well, why are you waiting for the other person to be the good communicator?
Right.
If you're a good communicator yourself.
Take responsibility.
Right? Exactly.
And then also understand, how relationships kind of work and the honeymoon phase, when you're going to start getting into that disruption phase where you're going to actually get into tempering, which is an important part of relationships.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So many people go, I need somebody that's a good communicator.
Yeah.
And if you need a good communicator, what does that tell me about you?
Yeah. That you're not a good communicator.
You're not a good communicator. Right. And that's probably going to trigger some people listening.
Yeah.
But who are you to tell me I'm not a good communicator?
Well, good communication starts with you.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah.
If I'm a good communicator, I will go, oh, okay, I can see this person's not communicating very well. I guess I have to ask the question this way, or I have to make sure I understand what they're saying. And then I better explain, explain what I'm trying to say.
Right. Yeah.
So they will understand it better.
Yeah.
And then I'll be able to say, what I really need from you right now is an answer, a response, a yes or no response.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And if I'm a good communicator,
I will be
able to draw that out.
Right.
If I'm not a good communicator, and I'm just waiting for my partner to do it.
Yeah. And then you're going to wonder why they're not a good communicator.
Yeah. And you guys are speaking two different languages.
Yep. Yep.
So if you want to find a good communicator,
be a
good communicator.
Yep.
Okay,
ready for the next one?
Mm-hmm. It's the same story, isn't it?
Yeah, same story.
Okay.
When an uncomfortable situation arises, I have to be the one to start the conversation. He just won't. He has only been in two short-term relationships before me, and I kind of just walked out of a long-term relationship. I took lessons from that relationship and learned that I need to be more clear about my own issues and word them correctly, too. But the guy I'm seeing has never had any motivation to learn how to communicate his needs. When I ask him why he never talks about his issues, he says, I don't know if the issue is real or just in my head. I don't want to make a big deal out of it. And so that complained so many things as well.
He's an avoider.
He's an avoider.
Sure. Yeah.
He probably doesn't have experience like being able to talk. Mm-hmm. Like he probably has been told, you can't have feelings, you can't have emotions. Right. You have to be the tough guy.
He's been conditioned
mentality.
To.
Yep.
Yeah.
So we're really, this is.
So if she understood attachment style, then she would understand where it's coming from.
Okay.
Well, even understanding just how.
And how to be able to help.
Men. And I've got to make a generalization here. Mm-hmm. The generalized view of men is that we're not allowed to be open and honest and share those feelings and emotions. But then the next generalized thing is that men are weak if they show those emotions or they're not being masculine. And there's a lot of guys out here that I guess I don't know if many are going to be listening right now, but you can be a masculine man and still be conscious.
And vulnerable.
Yeah, of course.
And vulnerable, yes. Yeah. I can be vulnerable and masculine.
And still maintain my masculinity. Yeah.
And still understand my emotions, stop my triggers, control my reactions. Mm-hmm. I can do all that and still be a man.
Yeah.
And still be masculine.
Well, I mean, but people who are not giving, men are not given those tools. That's not what they're told.
Well, I also think, again, it's, I don't know why it's, society has taught us to inherently deny that we could have both. We have both in us. We have feminine traits and female trait or male traits, regardless of our gender.
It's like, just percentage-wise.
It's percentage-wise, but it's more about that balance. The feminine side is being able to have that vulnerability, is being able to have the empathy and the compassion. But the masculinity is the part that takes charge and takes responsibility. And I don't know.
But what was the real?
We still got more.
No, but I want to go back. What was the? She said that. He doesn't want to participate in the conversation.
What he said is that he doesn't know if it's real. He just doesn't want to rock the boat, basically.
Yes,
he's saying,
he doesn't know if it's a real issue. So he recognizes the issues in his head, but he doesn't trust himself.
So that's what vulnerability is, and that's what he's not being vulnerable. He's not going, you know what, I'm having this issue in my head. Mm-hmm. Can you help me?
Yeah, understand it.
He's not asking for help, but he's just saying, well, I don't want
to. Well, and he's not going to ask for help.
Right, because
he doesn't want to. That brings down his mate value.
Of course.
Yes.
It brings down his...
He will seem needy.
He can't take care of things. He doesn't want to be needy.
That's right.
Yep.
And so that's, once again, we have to understand that we can approach this in a way that we're not needy, but we can be vulnerable and still be masculine. Mm-hmm. That's 100%. The goal here.
Yep.
That's the goal for a lot of guys, is that's why they don't want to go down this road, because they think that, oh my goodness, now I'm going to come off as needy, and if I'm needy, I won't be attractive.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And what we're trying to do is say, no, you can do both.
Mm-hmm.
You can be vulnerable, you can understand your emotions, and you can still be masculine.
Yeah.
And attractive.
And attractive. Okay.
Well, not if you're not attractive in the first place. No.
It's all personal.
No.
It's all from the inside.
Well, no. But that's what makes you attractive.
Yeah. That's what makes you attractive.
That's the vulnerability of women. And if we're talking about guys here, the guy in a heterosexual relationship, that's what is attractive to the opposite sex is that vulnerability, and you can still maintain masculinity. Yeah.
But again, I think, again, just not even pulling out from the hetero, just across gender and way, being vulnerable is an attractive feature.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yes. Right? It's just, it's security.
Being vulnerable without being needy and over the top emotional, right?
100%. So continuing on. I've told him that he doesn't need to be great at talking. He just needs to be able to tell me his problems so that we can work on them together, that I only expect him to at least try. I want to give him the benefit of the doubt because he's at least aware of his issues, and he also knows that he sucks at communicating them. He says that he will try harder, but I don't really see him trying. At the same time, I feel like I'm putting too much pressure on him to talk. He's choked about being an idiot when it comes to social skills. I don't want him feeling insecure or stupid around me, but I also feel like good communication is very important, especially in a new relationship.
Yeah, but I think
Her final question is, should I let it be for a while? Would you be intimidated if your partner consistently emphasized on having good communication? Am I trying too hard?
Well, if you keep telling him that, all he's hearing is that, okay, I'm not good enough.
Yeah.
I'm not good enough, right? So let it be. Mm-hmm. Right?
So there was a lot there.
Because I think that what she's saying, especially when she said, well, I'm not seeing it. Well, you need to have the tools. Even if you're aware, you need to know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Well, so, a lot of people, yes, okay, sweet. I need to be good at communicating. What does that mean? What does it look like?
What are the key
things? That's exactly what that spotlight program we have is on clearly communicating. Let's understand what good communication is. It's 6 weeks. It's and you're done. And now you have an idea what communication is.
You have the tools to be better at communicating.
But in his situation, like if we just want to give advice to that person, he's saying to you, I don't know what to do. And you're saying, I need you to communicate better.
I need you to do it.
I just need you to do it.
Right.
Okay, but that's where if you're a good communicator, you'll
tell them how to be a good
communicator. You can say, okay, what communication means is just give me a thought about what's in your mind right now. Like, why do you look down on yourself? Yeah. Why do you call yourself an idiot?
Right.
Because really, when he calls himself an idiot, and then she calls him an idiot, by saying you're not very good at this.
Right. Yeah.
So he just feels like more of an idiot.
He's saying, I don't know what to do. And you're saying, well, do it. Do the thing that you don't know how to do.
He's not being empowered.
She's taking his power away.
Yeah. Right.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%.
And he's now scared he's going to get judged. Because when we don't know how to do something, and let's think about it as doing a physical act. Mm-hmm. Say, I'm going out to play tennis. I never played tennis. And so this is where it leans into what is it? That's his attachment style. What's his personality type? If he's an introvert and if he's intuitive. Mm-hmm. What's the other one?
Sensing. Intuitive. Feeling.
The introverts in particular.
Yeah.
I don't want to learn a new skill in front of other people.
No, because
I don't want to be embarrassed.
Yeah.
So if you're saying you don't know how to communicate, where do I practice that if I'm worried I'm going to be judged.
Right, because if you can't practice
with someone.
And I'm going
to be judged by you. And he doesn't want to practice in front of her. He wants to be already good at it.
Yeah, and she's already judging him.
That's right.
Yeah. Which then could lead down the path of him making an emotional connection with someone else and learning how to talk with someone else. And then that becomes an issue.
Yeah. Right. So we need to be able to make sure he feels
safe. Safe is the word. Even though it might not be.
To just be able to talk and go, oh, okay, you did that well.
Yeah.
Here's another. Well, that's actually the point of why we started the Conscious Partner. Because people go, I don't know how to do this.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we can go, we just show you, we give you information.
Yeah,
we're not going to tell you how to do it.
And you
just
figure it out.
Here's the tools.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then talk to each other.
Again, comes back down to the puzzle pieces. Like,
that's right.
You don't know, you one don't have the communication time. Puzzle piece, and you won't know it until you know what it looks like with the sides. How does it shaped? Like, what is it? What are the ins and outs?
When do I use this scale as opposed to that scale?
Well, do we have to go to counseling for communication? Yeah. No, you don't have to go to counseling. It doesn't not cost a lot of money. Come on out, learn the skills.
Yeah.
And then
go.
Yeah, exactly.
And then if you still have trouble, now we're talking about red flags.
Right. Yeah. Now it's getting more of a
situation. Or is my partner not willing to learn it?
No. Yeah. Yeah.
What is the actual struggle here?
Because I think the difficulty is that when we know something, we think that it's easy for other people, right? So it's like, well, just do it.
Well, if I know how to play tennis and you don't,
just hit the ball.
Get it over the net.
But we're not telling you how to hold the ball.
What does that even mean? There's wrist movement.
There's
all kinds of
things. And that's the same thing with communication. It's the same thing with vulnerability. It's the same thing with
any emotional skill. Requires knowledge of technique to a degree. And you have to practice that technique over time.
Emotional triggering. You're not going to stop triggering instantly. You've got to practice the skill.
Yep. Yeah. Good. You're going to have to still trigger, but then you're going to have to learn how to manage the trigger and then so on and so forth.
Managing it.
And then as you manage, you heal and then you don't have triggers. Okay. So that one went well. Mm-hmm. So the last question, am I trying too hard?
Well, she's trying too hard on him.
Right.
She should be trying harder on herself.
Yes.
Like, theoretically, he doesn't want to come out. Doesn't mean she can't learn.
Yeah. 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 Doesn't mean she can't figure out the tools and then figure out how to be
effective. If you want to try hard, try hard on yourself.
What is it, you should ask yourself, what is it that I need to do to create that environment
to help make the situation better?
Where he can start learning the skills.
And what should I not be doing? I got to learn my mistakes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If he does get vulnerable, what shouldn't I do?
Yeah, because you don't want to ruin that.
Yeah. And that will allow him to feel safe.
Yeah, 100%. You good with this one?
Yeah.
Cool.
Can you hear any clapping from the audience?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they are. They're saying yes, right on.
Okay, so I don't know what this one will entail, but so the title is, does it mean you're not in love with someone if you don't get butterfly feelings or heart fluttering from doing things with them? And it's only a little
limerence anymore.
Yeah, it's only a little blur. But so my fiance dropped our relationship because she thinks she's never been in love with me due to the fact that she's never felt butterfly feelings or heart fluttering when interacting with me. That being said, she also says she's never felt those feelings before. Does it actually mean she's never been in love with me, or does not everyone get such feelings
when
in love?
You mean before with anyone or just with this guy?
I think before with anyone. Before I think that's what I'm referring
to. So she's never felt
butterfly feelings or heart fluttering before.
So she doesn't know. And one thing is that she's equating love to those feelings that are really fleeting.
Yeah, those are the fleeting feelings. Those are the hormonal instant.
That's not core values.
That's not the long-lasting enduring love we're looking for.
I mean, you have to have certain chemistry and attraction and all those things. Those are important.
Yeah.
So it could be that she never had that with him.
But they got engaged.
Yeah, that's the kind of weird part.
It's my fiance. It's like, I didn't get those feelings, but I spent enough time with him to get engaged.
Yeah.
So it is interesting.
So what does she know? She doesn't know herself.
Do they have an age on this person?
No age. No. But so does it actually mean she's never been in love with me, or does not everyone get such feelings when in love?
Love is.
Yeah.
Could it be that she's dismissive avoidant?
True.
Could be.
She hasn't allowed herself to be vulnerable.
Yes. That's the reason.
She's got no other reason. The person seems to be good, but now she's getting...
if you're being dismissive, like you can tell you're being dismissive, like you're choosing to.
No, we could be fearful.
Oh, fair.
So he didn't see.
Well,
that's
still unavoidant.
He didn't see the red flags that she was being dismissive.
Yeah, maybe that was it.
They could both be dismissive.
Yeah,
that's true. Maybe.
You know.
You never know.
And that's the problem with these advice. We need more information.
We need more info.
It could be just. For personality type, like once again, if she's an INTJ like me, we certainly have less of those butterfly feelings because everything is based on logic. If she has a really strong T in the four letters in the Myers-Briggs, in case anybody's not sure, but if you're really high on your T, then you're going to base everything on logic.
Whereas if you're a high F, it's going to be...
I'm an ENTJ, but I can still recognize those signs, you know, when you're in limerence with someone.
Yeah.
Right? So there's got to be... Like, who knows? Like, there's just so
many... Well, we also don't know if she's actually not feeling or if she's denying the feeling.
Maybe she could be fighting it just because she is an avoidant.
Yeah, she could be avoiding it just because she's like, oh, this is real.
On the face of it, she's certainly not an anxious.
Yes.
We know that for sure.
Yeah. Right, 100%. She's not causing drama. There's no like.
And for all you.
And a secure person would not have said yes if they.
No, exactly.
To start
secure,
with.
Right. Yeah. So a secure person would not have said yes.
It's going to be an insecurity of some nature.
Yeah.
So it's
and
avoidance.
Once again, let's stop looking outside. Mm-hmm. Let's look inside. Let's understand what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm. So what would this person.
What was the ask?
He's the one who asked.
Does that actually mean she's never been in love with me?
And she wants, so it's him asking the question.
It's him asking the question. Or it's a she. I don't know if it's a he, but yeah.
Well, I don't know how we're supposed to answer that question. Have you been in love with me? Well, do your core values match, first
that's
of all?
That's right.
Are you in real love? Or what kind of love?
Is it somehow codependent? If you're both insecure, like if you're a secure person, you probably wouldn't ask the question.
Yeah.
Has she ever said to you, I love you? Like, not that it means anything if she doesn't feel it, but there's so many missing information here.
Is she providing affection, companionship, emotional support?
Mm-hmm. But and then even if we look at like the triangle, passion, intimacy, and
commitment.
So this might be the passion element.
The passion is probably low.
Yeah. Right.
Is the intimacy high? Are you best friends? And is there commitment there?
Right. So you could have intimacy and commitment and then
not have much passion.
That could be what
that's called a companionate
relationship. Companionate love.
So they're
and so that
they are vulnerable with each other. Yeah. They are but that just one thing is missing. So yes, maybe.
So it depends. Yeah. That's what that event's for, to go, okay, so on the scale of things, we don't have a lot of passion, but do we have some intimacy? And if the answer there is no, and we don't have a lot of commitment, then you're really not in love. No.
So, and it could be that she thought, because they have, let's assume that she has intimacy and commitment, thinking that maybe that passion thing will come.
And maybe that would build over time.
It's not building. So now it's like, do I really want to get married? Because it's not happening.
So we really can't.
But it's important to ask that question and say, okay, let's see if we do have those other elements, and if this passion can grow if we focus on it.
Yeah,
but if we don't have this one, and we also don't have the other two, then no, we're not in love.
Yeah.
That means we're in a codependent relationship.
And we're really, we can be friends.
We're good roommates. Yeah, but, good roommates.
Well, only if we have the intimate part.
We have the intimate part, Okay, cool. That one's good. What is this one?
And that's where people... that's what the What is Love event is about, is to help people understand, am I really in love with this person? Because so many people ask that question. Am I in love?
Yeah.
That's,
who do I know?
That's why it's a free event. Yeah. So people can come out and go, okay, this is a way to measure, at least give me a guideline as to whether or not I'm in love.
Yeah.
Like you can't actually measure love, but at least you can get a guideline as to, okay, do I have all the elements of love here?
Okay. This one's going to be an interesting one. I'll read the full thing. It's like, basically a long paragraph, but so the title is, my boyfriend, 34 male, becomes an asshole when he drinks. He's a sweet guy otherwise, so what options do I have? Now, the paragraph. So as the title says, my boyfriend is usually a sweet and understanding man, but becomes an angry asshole when he drinks. He used to drink almost every other day, but now it's reduced to one day in a week. He tries his best to instigate a fight, and it's getting on my nerves. We are planning for a baby at the end of this year, and all this makes me really unsure about getting pregnant. He says all this will stop the minute I get pregnant, but I'm not really sure if I can ever trust him about his drinking.
Are you going to watch my eyes now?
He has a stable job that pays well, and as I said, is otherwise a very understanding man. I am at my wit's end about him. Any advice? Breaking up would be the last option.
That is called the boundaries.
Yes.
It's called the boundaries.
And what are you willing
to accept?
So
many things here, I think.
Well, yes, because, okay, it's not a surprise. So you know the person drinks.
Yeah.
Right? They're telling you who they are.
You know that it's an issue for you.
Yeah.
So why are you trying to get pregnant and have a child with this person?
Right.
And if you think it's going to get better once you have a child and more pressure on you?
Yeah.
No, that's...
Well, again, so it sounds like a codependent relationship. This person even mentions that he has a high-paying job. So there's security and comfortability. Like, you know what I mean? So she's like, okay, well, if I can just deal with this behavior...
The question is, like, why are you willing to accept that?
Yeah.
Why do you think that...
No, there's only one answer if you want an answer. And the answer is... This is the boundary. Either we stop drinking now, then we have a baby. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You have to show me that you can stop and that you are going to stop for a long period of time. Mm-hmm. Here's the situation if it comes back.
Right.
Well, that's the thing. It'll take time for the person to stop. If it's been a habit and there's a dependency that's been created.
Well, I mean, it has to be, because she's even saying, like, why is the last option that you're going to break up with someone who's abusive towards you?
Because she's codependent on money.
Exactly.
100%. Exactly. So, there's...
So she needs to take responsibility.
So she's making a choice that she's trading the security of the income, the security of the person. So, she's trading that for some of this dysfunction.
Right.
And that's on her.
Yeah.
See, that's the other thing, is she keeps looking at him.
But it is on her.
It is... She's making that decision.
Yeah.
And she has to understand, I'm doing this.
You're choosing to deal with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why am I doing this?
Yeah.
I'm
Why
doing
am I
this
willing to accept that?
Because I want this security.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So now you have to decide.
Can it was security worth this? It.
That come with it.
There. Yeah.
Can
it's
I live
not
with
my
that?
Choice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It's
what am
not
I willing to forego?
Mm-hmm.
If I'm really willing to forego, like, some of that peace of mind whenever he does drink.
Right.
Then that's great. That's your choice. You're forgoing.
And am I going to have a child in that environment?
Exactly. Yes. Do you want to raise your child in that environment?
Because that is a divorce looking for a place to have it.
Mm-hmm.
Is it not?
Absolutely.
Definitely easy. Okay, ready for the next one?
Yep.
Okay.
Whenever I start talking louder, Bruiser always gets worried.
Yes, he does. Okay, so this one is, again, a little bit longer, but so my... So the wife, Okay, so the person talking is a 25-year-old male. The wife is a 23-year-old female. My wife of 2 years is taking my depression personally, and I don't know how to help her.
My wife is taking my depression personally.
And I don't know how to help her.
Hold on.
Yeah, that's just the title.
Oh, okay.
There's backstory. I don't really need to read all the backstory, but the male has struggled with on and off depression throughout his whole life, even as early as fourth grade. It sometimes lasts for months or even a year or two. My wife has seen it in me before, but lately I have been really feeling it. So now he's been feeling it a lot. The wife grew up in an abusive home. Her parents would yell at her and hit her. And when her mom was upset with her, she would give her the silent treatment to punish her. When my wife sees me withdrawn from my depression, she can't help but feel like I'm punishing her because of how her mom used to treat her. So the last month as his depression has gotten worse, the wife has been incredibly defensive. He's trying to hurt her. She's snapping at him, blaming him for withdrawing from her and overall taking the depression personally. She keeps telling him that.
Who are these people writing to?
Right?
Who are they writing to?
Themselves?
Yeah.
No, but they're.
Oh, it's just like, Reddit, it's literally just
is
like
this an advice column?
They just, so it's like a Reddit forum. So it's just a page called Relationship Advice, and whoever can come and
people just,
post. It's like making a post on it, and they tell their life story, and then they get feedback.
Whoever in the world people gives advice to that person deserves to, I don't know what. This is way more of a problem than somebody can address in an advice call.
Yeah, and it's not 100%. Even an advice call. Yeah. People are just writing in, right? And other people would respond to that. Yeah. You know nothing.
And somebody's going to write in and tell this person to do
what
this. It could be the absolute... And I guess worst everybody advice. Knows it could be the worst advice, but you could have 40 people saying the same thing that are all terrible advice.
Yeah, that's the right advice. Yep. Yeah.
So really, the end of it is usually I'm great at helping my wife through her trauma and process things, but now I feel so useless on top of all the other things making me feel depressed. Now I have a spouse who's getting increasingly more frustrated with me and putting mental pressure on.
This is the deepest version of a codependent relationship you could get.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Because this one needs counseling.
Absolutely. I would say that. And she needs to know her ISIS score, like her...
If she's gone through an abusive relationship and now
she's transferring onto...
Well, also, he's placing his perception of her into this text that we don't know. Mm-hmm. His perception could be all wrong.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But because it's his perception in... his eyes, it's his reality.
Oh, it's his reality, right. But to give advice to somebody based on perception
is because we don't have both two people in front of us to know exactly what's going on.
But then the last part is I don't know who to talk to about this, but the pressure on me makes it feel like I'm just making things worse. So you should talk to
go to a therapy.
You need some counseling of some kind. This is not something doing here with a conscious partner. Mm-hmm. We're not
doing counseling.
We're not counseling.
Right.
We're information. Now, if you're capable of
awareness.
Yeah, if you're capable of taking in the information and doing it yourself, that's fine.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But from the basis of that story, that is you got too many things going on there.
Yeah. Right. So, because there's deep rooted trauma, there's pain, there's
on both sides.
There's no letting go of the past.
He's using the word depression, correct?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's clinical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If it is clinical, we have no idea.
Well, the way that he said
it's been fourth grade, so he's been doing things for it. Yeah.
Yeah. So now, on top of that, him maybe not knowing how to, obviously he doesn't know how to, he has not dealt with it because it's been going on. And now there's this added to it, you know, whatever it is, that the way that he's perceiving it.
And it started out as probably, since he's depressed, he's probably attracted a caretaker of some kind.
Yeah.
Right.
But then now that caretaker
feels guilty because she doesn't feel worthy. She has no self-worth, no self-esteem.
Resentment there too.
He doesn't know how to build her self-esteem up because he's depressed.
So
would she be a fearful then, kind of?
Yeah, it's hard to say. It's going to be somewhere.
Yeah, on the line of anxious and fearful.
Right.
But it's going to be more of
she's going to think poorly of herself and she thinks poorly of him because he has the depression.
Exactly. So they could both be fearful.
Yeah. They could both be fearful.
That could be a classic fearful one. But once again, we're not here to analyze.
Definitely. I think that she's just transferring the feeling from her mom to him.
Yeah.
That's what he thinks she's feeling.
Yeah. Yeah. But again, we don't have both of them in front of us, so we don't know. We're just trying
to. But even if we did, we would say, okay, this is more than a 10-minute conversation. This is 6 months of something just to get to the beginning.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah, it's like the iceberg.
Thing.
Yeah, this is iceberg.
Separately before they can.
Yeah.
Yeah, they would have to.
And that's the problem, is they could love each other. They could really be good for each other.
Yeah.
But they're letting their dysfunctions and attachment styles and all this other stuff get in the way. And it's not that they couldn't come out to learn before they go to counseling or in addition to going to counseling, but they need some kind of professional
healing. Because they don't know how to do it, then they're just blaming each other.
Yeah.
Because that's easy to do.
Well, they're both blaming each other. She's blaming him for the depression. And he's blaming her for not being supportive of his depression.
Yeah. But he's blaming himself
for not knowing what to do.
Not knowing what to do. Yeah. She's probably, there's just lots of blame going on.
Yeah, there's a lot of.
This is a blame circle going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Reddit is not the place to ask for advice or something
Please
like that.
Please seek help.
Counseling. Yes. If you need help, seek help. Yes.
Someone serious. Okay. We're good with that one?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. This one's very opposite of the last one. It may not be. We'll just see how it goes. So the title is My Girlfriend Ate All My Quesadillas.
My girlfriend ate my quesadillas.
I made 4 quesadillas to eat after the gym. I leave to the gym. I tell my girlfriend to help herself to some if she gets hungry. I come home. All my quesadillas are gone. Every single one. It's late and no food place is open. Looks like I'm having sleep for dinner tonight.
That's why you have cereal.
My girlfriend is starving.
Always have cereal.
Well, there's that disappointment because he already, in his mind, right, he did the workout thinking, I'm going to go home to my quesadillas, right? So he built that whole expectation.
Well, I was going to say, there's some expectations going involved in, like, going in here. There was no boundaries that were set.
That's a pretty safe expectation that if you make the quesadillas.
Yes, and you tell her.
Yeah.
You can have some, which would mean, now to me, in this assumption, some would mean no more than half.
Right.
Yes.
But that's where the expectation, maybe you say,
yes.
Okay, well, I made 6, you get 3.
But however, though, if it's your girlfriend and obviously they live together, you would think that, okay, this person loves me enough that they would know to leave something for me to eat, right? They wouldn't be selfish to eat all of
it. Unless it's not real love.
Yeah.
And she's just in it for the quesadillas.
Yeah. Or she wanted to. She was mad at him.
The first one was in it for the money. This one's in it for the quesadillas.
Yeah. But, you know, she would be like, well, I'm mad at you for whatever you did, like, you know, 3 months ago.
I'm going to eat all of his food.
We don't know.
Yeah.
But it would seem that in a relationship, it would make sense that, you know, just out of kindness, that he would
But I wonder how pissed this person actually got.
Is there an actual question at the end of it?
No. It just, I don't know what capital I doctor girlfriend starving me. I don't really know what that means.
No, but there's no question.
No, there's no real question.
They're just putting the statement.
It's just like a venting.
Yeah, just a venting thing.
A lot of the comments are
if you were really, really, really nice, like, well, if you're a people pleaser would say, well, I guess she was really hungry.
imagine that he was actually pissed about this.
Well, but is it the first time something like this has happened? Is it the 19th time? Is it the... if it happens once. It's like,
what is their explanation?
I thought you made, I thought the ones you left on the plate were for me and you put yours somewhere else.
Right. That could have been a misunderstanding.
There's not enough perspective here.
Yeah. So get curious. Don't take it personally.
Why did you eat all my quesadillas?
You can ask
and if she goes, oh, was that all you had? Oh, I'm sorry. Like that could happen.
And now you can turn it into, okay, now you owe me, right?
Yeah.
Kind of a fun 100%. Thing.
And,
it doesn't.
And if she says, well, I was hungry and I don't care about you. Okay, well, now you got your answer.
Here are your
like it really depends. It depends what she says and how she responds.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Okay, it's another really short one. It was posted an hour ago. The title is Losing Interest in My Partner. And the description is, it's getting to the point I, male 27, don't even want to open her 25 messages. I may have someone else on my mind. What should I do?
25 messages?
I think it's her, like her age 25. So I think it's her, she's 25.
Oh, okay.
I don't even want to open her messages.
Okay, got a little convoluted. I've lost the start of the story now.
It's getting to the point that I don't even want to open her messages. I may have someone else on my mind. What should I do?
Hold on. Go back to the start of the story, though.
I've
lost interest in my partner. Mm-hmm. I don't want to open her messages anymore.
Yeah. And maybe my mind is somewhere else.
Well, what should I do?
You are 100% right.
Yeah.
You are losing interest in your partner.
That's right. And why are you asking? That's what I don't understand. Why would you want to ask? What should you do? You know what you should do. You just want
confirmation.
Someone else. You want confirmation.
The validation.
And then you want to be able to blame somebody else if you make a mistake.
They told me that I should. Yeah.
So is that like not trusting
You're
yourself?
You're not taking responsibility for yourself.
Not secure with your...
If you lose interest, you lose interest, but it's okay to be forefront and, you know, just tell the person.
What's that saying is if you're choosing between one person and another person,
yeah,
choose neither.
Why? Oh, because not one of them is holding your attention. No. Not even close to enough. Yeah, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
You they both have to be gone. You're not...
Because you can find someone that has all of the elements, probably.
Yeah.
If you're just saying, well, this one's close and this one's close, then neither one of them is the right choice.
It's like you're buying really shoes and you can buy both pairs, you know? Right? Yeah, exactly. 100%.
And all you're going to do is if you choose one, then that person's going to show some elements that you don't like over time. And you're going to go, darn it, I should have chosen the other one.
Yeah, that's right, with hindsight. Yes.
So if you're choosing between two people, choose neither.
That's a good one. Yeah. I think that's important. I like that a lot.
Like, it should be overwhelmingly,
person. Yeah, I want to be with this person. Yes. Not.
Yeah, yeah, it's not like the why are you settling? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Okay, the next one. How do I reaffirm myself that my girlfriend won't cheat on me? That's the title.
Okay, well, there's absolutely no guarantee that you will know whether someone will cheat on you or not.
Like, that's a good point.
You don't know. So you have to decide whether or not you trust yourself or you trust the other person.
Yep.
Or you create an environment where you're vulnerable and you know what's going on and the person feels comfortable talking to you. So if you have issues, you can talk about it.
100%. That's so right off the bat, that's great advice.
Yeah.
My girlfriend and I have been dating for a bit over a year now, and she's going to college today. She recently told me about this guy at college that seems to be pretty into her, asking her if she wanted to watch movies in her dorm.
Hold on, I want
to
back up.
Oh, gosh. Which part?
Read that last one again.
My girlfriend and I have been dating for a bit over a year now, and she's going to college today.
No, I want to go back to the other one.
The title. How do I
other one.
Oh, the one before that?
I'll reaffirm myself, yeah.
Yeah, how do I reaffirm myself that my girlfriend won't cheat on me?
Yeah, that's the title. One. Okay. That's the one, yeah. That is the title.
Did you want to touch on it?
So the question is more, why are you worried that she is?
Well, yeah. Well, that's what...
That's the question, isn't it? Yeah. Why are you worried that she's going to cheat on you? So that means what? So that means your self-esteem is low.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You're insecure.
That means you're not confident in yourself. Mm-hmm. You don't trust yourself.
Yeah. Well, because you think you're going to you're making a bad decision because...
Right. If I'm secure, I'm not at all ever worried about whether my partner's going to cheat because I have value. And why would they cheat on me, first of all?
Right, that's the thing. Is if they do cheat, thank God, because I can leave.
That's right.
And I'm not worried about losing.
I'm not worried about it. No, because I know I have value and I deserve a lot.
Right, if they do that.
But if I'm worried about my partner cheating, I'm going to convey that, correct?
That's right. Right.
And then my partner's going to go... This person's a little on the needy side.
Yeah.
You know what? And that's now I can't be vulnerable.
Yep.
Right? I can't be vulnerable because you're needy.
Yep.
So that means I can't be my authentic self anymore. Mm-hmm. And when I'm not my authentic self, that means I could end up talking to somebody else where I can be my authentic self.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
And that's going to lead me to cheating.
That's what I was saying. You need to create that connection somewhere. Right. The person's going
to
be safe.
I just wanted to convey more that we have to look.
Yeah.
And if I am confident and secure, why would she cheat on me? If I'm giving her space, if I'm giving all of this, she can be vulnerable, safe. Mm-hmm. Go have at it.
Yeah.
You go be with anybody you want. If you want to cheat, good. I'm good.
100%. I mean, that's the attitude.
Because I'm worth missing. I'm worth having.
Absolutely.
Yep. So do we really need to get into it?
Well, no, but I just wanted to go. And that's what we're doing with the Conscious Partner is we're trying to help people build their self-esteem so they can have that attitude.
100%.
As in, you want to be with me.
Yeah.
That's what's securing me.
That's right.
Yep.
Yeah.
You want to be with me as long as we're matched.
Yeah.
As long as we match up. Right. And if we don't match up, that's fine.
That's fine. Yeah. If you don't want to be with me,
but then end this maturely.
Yeah.
And if you don't want to be, it's fine as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't diminish who I am because you choose someone else.
Like you're allowed to choose someone else. Yeah.
I just wanted to touch on that.
Okay. So. They've been going to college. She told me about a guy. He wanted to watch movies in her dorm, and if she wanted to visit his for the AC, the basis on which they became friends is because he thought she was cute, so he had to ask her for social media. He should be aware that she has a boyfriend, but she hasn't made it abundantly clear. She's never done anything to indicate that she would cheat on me, not even once, but for some reason, I still worry so much and have this gut-wrenching feeling that something bad will happen. That's anxious attachment style.
Mm-hmm.
I have addressed this with her, and she's been so kind to ensure that I knew... that she wouldn't do anything. Yeah, okay. But
hold on,
feeling...
I'm confused. We got three people here, don't we?
Yes.
Well, there's the
boyfriend,
the boyfriend,
the girlfriend,
who's
and
not
the
really
new
involved
male friend.
In this question. The boyfriend's not really involved, is he?
He's worried about.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
The boyfriend
is worried
about.
She has a friend.
Well, she's going to college and she met this guy who's really nice and cute. And the thing is,
so it's like kind of a, like, can they be just friends kind of thing?
Yeah. I don't know. Can they be just friends?
But yeah, so no. But then he has the anxious reaction there. And then his final statement is, wait, I've come to realize that it's not anything that she's doing wrong, but an error in my mindset. Do you guys have any tips for dealing with this feeling?
There you go. Okay.
We actually just described it in that last
one. We did.
It's the same thing, right?
Yeah. Well, I think a large part of this is your attachment style. It sounds like an anxious, because that's what would happen. That's what anxious feels like.
But if she's going off to college and has befriended somebody that she's hanging around privately with in a dorm room.
Yeah. And she's like, we have to trust her enough to know that she's making the other person aware that she has a boyfriend committed. Mm-hmm. Or if she isn't, then that's...
Do we know that?
We don't know that. And also because they don't say their age. They might be pretty young if she's just going to college, right? So you just...
In the just friends event, we go kind of through this. If the boyfriend knows the other guy and they can talk and they can get along, then it might be able to work.
Right. Because
if
there's
they
that
don't
connection.
Know each other,
it could
it's
be a problem.
Just trouble.
Yeah. Well, yeah, if you're sneaking around or if you're not telling about the conversations or
if
they're
talking
not being brought
intimately
up or...
to this guy. The movie guy, if I'm talking intimately, as in sharing elements of my relationship, close personal information, it's nothing but trouble.
Yeah. And we don't know her style, her attachment style.
No, we don't know either.
She could be really secure.
And if she's away to college, which means that the possibility of the boyfriend being able to meet that other, well, they could always do a Zoom thing.
I mean, it's now a long-distance relationship.
Long-distance relationship, yeah.
Well, college could be in the same city.
True.
Yeah, but just the way that he said that she's going to college just seems to me that...
It's like she went away.
She went away, Yeah.
But so the tips is understand your attachment style. Understand
what it means. The responsibility that you have, in this case, this would be the female.
No, the male.
No.
Oh.
She has responsibility to make sure that she handles her boyfriend and this other guy the right way.
She does, but she would know that. Like if we're answering his question, right? It's because he wants to know.
No, but she would know to introduce them. Yeah. She would know to
make them feel.
She has to be responsible.
Yes.
And she has to be the responsible one in the relationship because she's the one with the friend.
She's the one with the friend.
It's not that it can't work, but if you hide anything, it won't work.
And he should not have to ask for it. She should know.
She should be upfront. If she's not doing that, then...
So for him to be responsible in the scenario, because this is kind of like, so a lot of responsibility is on her for maintaining these two relationships, but what is...
He has to set the boundaries of, I'm okay with this, as long as I get to know what this guy can... Mm-hmm. And this is not a control thing. It's not a... And a lot of people will say, and I'm sure there's going to be people listening and hearing that go, what right of his is it to demand that she do that? Mm-hmm. Okay, she doesn't have to do it, but I don't have to be in a relationship with her.
That's what the thing is. It's like if you're trying to maintain a good relationship, this is what is required to maintain that good relationship.
If you're putting
time and effort into another emotional connection that isn't your relationship, then that you're not putting your relationship first anymore, and that's when it's going to go downhill.
And, you're taking away from that relationship, and especially if it's long distance.
It's going to be
the void's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger.
And at that age, that's even more of a struggle at that age.
That's right.
Because you're young, you haven't been in that many relationships.
I don't know. Okay. Well, that was a good one. Mm-hmm. You liked that one. Touched on a couple different topics. So next one.
We need like music or something to fill the gap.
Okay. So this one's called Insecurity. My girlfriend, 21, constantly wants to go to a frat house with all her friends. At this frat house, she has slept with a few guys in the past, even one while I was first starting to get to know her. Now that we have been dating for a while, and I have caught her lying to me many times, not specifically about the frat house, just other issues in the relationship.
Well, you're still with
her. So it seems I have lost a lot of my trust in her. At the beginning of the school year, I made it clear. that I don't want her going there since she says I'm not allowed there and they won't let me in. And a few days ago, she lied to me about going.
Who's not allowed there? Him or her?
Him.
He's not because he's not a member of the frat.
I found out that he found another lie. There is only a short summary of what's happened in a relationship. That is only this short summary. The question is, am I insecure for getting mad at her for going?
Well, you certainly could be insecure, but that has nothing to do. We don't know about your insecurity because if she is really doing all that stuff, a secure person would also be annoyed.
Of course, you'd be annoyed. You'd be mad. And then you have to make a decision. Like, why are you accepting?
Why are you accepting lying?
After the first lie, there should have been boundary.
That's right.
If there's another lie, then this is the solution. But the reason that you're not doing it is because, and this is where you're probably insecure. Because you're codependent.
Yes.
If you were secure, you wouldn't have put up with the first lie in the first place.
That's right.
You just said, no, that was a lie. I'll give you, you know, I didn't realize you'd do that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to put up with that. So if you lie again, I'm going to have to step aside.
Yeah. So the question is, why are you hanging on?
If they're treating you like shit, why are you still there?
All you're doing is giving her permission to treat you like shit.
Well, it's kind of funny because we go through all of these problems and scenarios, and it's like a lot of these issues wouldn't even exist if they had the self-love, the setting boundaries, all these things in place beforehand.
And this is the thing, when you think about the population, most people are insecure. Right?
Yeah.
When you look at the,
So even if they say about 40% of people are secure, something like that. But even secure is in a box or in a, I guess I'm holding up my hands for people who are watching. It's a quadrant.
Yeah.
But there's going to be a lot of secure people that are still near the edge of that quadrant.
Oh, absolutely.
Right. So of really secure people, there's probably only 20%.
Mm-hmm. Right. But you can be like
on
the lines.
Even if you're really, really secure. Yeah. So if I do the test now and I'm really secure up there, but there are times, depending on what's going on in your relationship, where you can get you can still stay in that secure quadrant that you're talking
about.
Be insecure. But you still can have some insecurities because of things that have happened. So you really have to be aware of who you are.
Based on disruptions that occur, you can move.
No, you'll act insecure based on what's happening in your life. And then your anxiety will make you go, you know what, this is wrong.
Right.
I'll get out.
That's right. Because you can recognize.
You recognize that you're not being yourself.
The tendency.
As an insecure person, you'll be in a relationship and you'll go, this is wrong. Now I have to go to my attachment style, which could be insecure, which means I have to now create anxiety and drama and all this other stuff.
Right.
That's where the drama comes in the relationship.
Yeah.
A secure person will get out.
Yeah.
An insecure person will create problems, basically.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. So he's insecure.
Well,
I mean, you are insecure.
He could be insecure, maybe not severely insecure.
If he was secure, he wouldn't even be asking. Would be saying,
I think it's so important for people listening. Yeah. When we're saying secure and insecure, insecure doesn't mean bad.
No.
Right?
No.
Insecure doesn't mean bad. I mean, your attachment style is insecure. Mm-hmm. That's what's screwing up your relationships.
Right.
Let's understand our attachment style so we can go, oh, okay, that's an insecure tendency I have.
Yep.
Let's fix
that. Because I need reassurance and I'm not being reassured by this person's actions. Yep. So it's reinforcing.
That's where the awareness comes in.
Yep.
Let's just understand what I'm doing that's getting in the way of my relationships so that I can stop doing that.
Yeah.
And act more secure.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to know
solves a lot of problems.
You have to know what it is first.
Yeah. If you don't know it, you can't recognize it.
So simple.
Yeah.
It's not as hard as people think.
Yep.
Next one. And for once again, people watching and listening, if you haven't done it, go on the reviews. And on the website, it kind of tells you how people, once again, they go through the attachment style and they go, why didn't I know this when I was 20?
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing.
That's when you're supposed to learn. We talk about it a lot more. Yeah. Like, it's really out now. Where even like 5-6 years ago, people didn't really talk a lot about attachment style.
Well, that's the kind of beauty of, in my generation, at least, is like we have been talking about it because we are recognizing it's like, holy shit, what did, you know, we dealt with some shit and now we're like aware of how it's affecting us. And like, I don't know, because the mental health aspect was already there and it was kind of open within our generation. Mm-hmm. All right. The next one is called...
Was there anybody older in these Reddits? Is there any like above 25?
Yeah. This one. This next one was...
I'm 62 and...
There was one with a 64-year-old and a 79-year-old. I don't remember what that one is though. Oh, no.
I'm just wondering. We just hurry up and read.
Yeah, okay. So my husband turned out to be a totally different person than I previously knew.
We were just talking about this.
So she is a 28-year-old female and the husband is a 29-year-old male. So my husband background, the last 6 years we have known each other, we've stayed virgins and pretty much away from each other to prevent any physical contact. So we would spend our days talking on the phone, either by texting or video audio calling.
No physical contact?
No physical contact. Did they meet each other? Yes. Oh, no.
So they didn't even meet each other?
I don't think so, because they pretty much stayed away from each other to prevent physical contact.
Well, there's your fantasy bond.
I thought we knew each other pretty well. When we got married, and here was the surprise, he's damn cold, and he doesn't initiate intimacy at all. And if he ever did, I do the whole thing for him. He finishes, and I get nothing. It's in caps locks. Days go by, and we literally live like roommates in the house. I don't even get a tiny little kiss from him.
So
before the actual marriage, during those calls and messages, he was so kinky, adventurous, and horny all the freaking time. Now I found myself missing the person I was talking to on the phone. Now you can stay days, even weeks, without doing anything, and he's totally fine about it. I am on the other hand, I was dying to get married so I can live and experience my body the way I was dreaming of. I tried on sexy outfits. I tried to drag him to shower together. I tried all these things that could come up to your heads and more. I tried different dynamics. I did all of my best till I got tired and gave up. I started questioning my own attractiveness, my own self. I asked him if there's something wrong, like open up to me and tell me. He said he would say everything is fine and everything is perfect. Help.
So
there's a lot of areas you could touch on
here. So many things that are wrong with this picture, right? Because so they had a lot of conversation. They didn't have any physical contact
for six years.
6 years.
So the person could pretend to be whoever they want to be, just so they could hear,
right?
Or tell you what you want to hear.
I also kind of see maybe a dismissive thing here.
Oh, of course.
He could have been the best, and maybe now that he's in the relationship.
When she's saying he's a different person.
Mm-hmm. He's not different.
Well, they're not. Shouldn't even know who he was.
That's right.
Right.
What she's saying is that his behavior now is different than the person that you had, you know, that was
phone
talking
sex
to you over the phone.
Yes.
But it's still not the real thing.
She didn't get to know the real person.
No, she didn't.
Right, because technically every phone call, you could have been your performing self.
Of course.
Or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Every single one.
And that can be fun. Yeah. Like, that's why probably it lasted for 6 years, maybe. Because I can be, sure, I'll just hop on the phone and be someone else, and I don't have to be the person in real life. And then,
or is it a fantasy that this person has, right? And then, but he's not able to tell her, this is what gets me off, right?
Maybe he's attracted to men.
Yeah, there's that too.
Because maybe that's why the phone worked, because he didn't have to see anything.
Yeah. Like there's just way too much in there.
It's just not the best way
to form a relationship.
Exactly. Yes. That's the key message I think that we could tell our listeners and our viewers, right? That it's certainly not the best way. You don't get to know the real person. Like you can't say the person has changed.
So then how does that work then in other religious scenarios, like religion, arranged marriage, or just like the scenario
where arranged marriage is different.
It's a little bit different.
No, arranged marriage, because let's just go for I know you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And if I'm trying to marry you off, I get to know that person's parents.
Right.
So I know what your core values are. I know what drives you a little crazy. They know theirs. You have a lot more.
There's a little bit of a
lot
baseline.
More of a base than just two people randomly meeting.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Well, so then what about, again, so if religious purposes, saying that we're not going to have sex until we're married, and we're now limiting our contact because of that physical.
That's if you're limiting your contact, you're not getting to know one another.
Right. That doesn't seem very authentic.
No.
Like if you're having to stop yourself from doing something that you want to do.
And you're an adult and you're,
and you can make the decision.
Make your decision. Are we going to have sex or not?
Right.
Just make that decision.
Right.
But that doesn't mean you go, okay, you have to stay over there and I have to stay over here because otherwise we're going to have sex.
Yeah.
Now you're two inauthentic people. Mm-hmm. All you're doing is hoping you're together, which means that's a fantasy bond. That's what the fantasy is.
All you want is because you want to get together, not because you want to have a life with the person, but just because you know, that's the only way we're going to get sex.
Right.
Yeah. So that's what you're looking for.
And it's going to dominate the conversation because that's what's going to be in your mind. And it's always, I'm going to be, you said, horny all the time.
Yeah.
That's all it's going to be about.
And if it's not done right, you're going to be really disappointed because in your mind, you've built this up.
This is going to be amazing.
Amazing thing.
Well, so then how does one handle it? Because I know we have, that's part of the spirituality growth shop, is it not? Is like the religion aspect.
Okay, but what's your question?
Well,
how do we handle what? the religious part of we have to remain virgins?
No, the religious part of being like impeccable with your word and like in terms of contracts with others. Like okay, so I'm in a religion that so I don't necessarily agree with the fact that I have to be separate for, you know, however length of time. But then there's like they have that struggle, don't they? Isn't that a struggle that people would have?
Yeah.
So how does one decide?
Well, you have to decide. You can live the tenets of your religion or you're not.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that just comes down to
it. It's now who you are as a person. Mm-hmm. Are you going to take responsibility for it? Mm-hmm. Right. And if you want to, then do it. If you don't want to, you got a different problem.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, it's not even a problem. You just have to make that your choice.
You have to make you make the decision.
Right? Yeah.
And we have to accept it.
Yep.
Let's say, and that's what we tell people, we got to live your core values. If you're not living authentically to your core values, you're never going to be happy. Mm-hmm. And if your core values don't match up with your religion, you have an issue to deal with.
Yeah.
But nobody can help you with that issue.
Yeah.
You have to make that decision yourself, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah, you do.
Well,
you absolutely.
I'm only asking this because I know that there's people that are in religions that don't have that. The security within themselves, the trust within themselves to go against what they've been brought up on. And it's...
Well, and some people
if that's what they want to do,
they live a life, a miserable life.
Yeah.
Because they're, even though, because there's that, that struggle between, okay, this is what I really want, but I want to respect my religion, but then you're not being true to yourself, so their entire life, they're not being authentic, and it's just horrible, and they
self-abuse.
It's self-abuse.
But that's where you're punishing yourself, and you're driving yourself crazy.
And raise kids in that environment, and then you continue, it's perpetuating
the cycle.
Whatever we do, we have to be committed to doing it and live by it. Yeah. And it doesn't mean we can't change our decision later.
Yeah. Exactly. Absolutely okay to change.
But you have to accept that that's what I'm doing.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah. The next one. How do I make my girlfriend stop biting and pinching?
Tell her to take a water bottle and spray them.
What's that stuff you do with, you put bad tasting stuff all over your body?
Apple cider vinegar or something.
Right? Put that on where she's biting.
Gosh. Yeah, right.
Number one.
My girlfriend likes to bite and pinch me, and sometimes it's cute, but she often does it too hard and it genuinely hurts. I tell her to stop and that it really hurts, but she never listens and even ups the pain by pulling my chest and facial hairs sometimes. I've had to push her off a few times and this makes her mad at me, so most of the time I just have to suffer through it until she gets bored. How do I make her see that this is genuinely shitty for a shitty time for me? She will also insist I don't love her anymore when I try to make her stop.
That's a basic boundary.
And having just enough self-worth to know that, okay,
every time you pinch me, $5 in the travel jar.
Yeah.
And if you don't, that's such a lack of respect, though.
I mean, I understand. I'm a pincher myself. I like to...
But once you say there's a certain level of...
Get in a relationship with someone who can respect that. I guess it's as simple as that.
Yeah, it's as simple as that. Because obviously they're not going to change. You remind me of a first date.
Well, you could ask the question. Is this something you have to do? What's the reason you have to do this? It bothers me.
Yeah.
I don't enjoy when you do that. Is this something you have to do? If it is... This could be. Yeah. This
it
is
sounds now.
This
like told
this goes
them.
Back to the red flag thing. You had the very first question. Yes, this is kind of a red flag.
Yes. Yeah.
Can I live with this through the rest of my life?
Yeah.
Have I put boundaries in place to try to stop it?
Yep.
Are they working? Are they not working? Yeah. Now it's a red flag.
Because it could be annoying, but it's continuing to go on.
He did put boundaries in terms of,
he vocalized that he didn't like it.
But he didn't say what the consequences would be and how he's going to implement that and all of those things.
He didn't actually enforce anything.
Yeah.
If you do it again.
Please stop.
So the first time it's $20 in the travel jar. The second time it's I don't know. I'm going to go spend the night with a friend.
Yeah.
The third time I'm going to spend the weekend with a friend.
Yeah.
And it's okay, like,
I'm
we're
out of
done
here.
Now.
We're done now. Yeah. Thanks this for playing.
Not, I really enjoyed you. I wish you could stop pinching, but I can't live like this. I'm sorry.
Yep.
Yeah.
So do you want the last one?
Is this the last one?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool. So the title of it is "I Found Another Man's Hat in My Car."
How do you know it's a man's hat?
I really need advice as to whether or not I handled this incorrectly. The title sums the story up, but a little further detail. My wife and I have been married for almost 8 years. Today, I was cleaning my car out. I saw a hat in the passenger seat, but I thought it was mine at first. I'm in the Army. It was an Army hat. But then when I picked it up, I noticed it had another rank last name on it. I haven't been in the car with anyone else, let alone even know who that last name belongs to. My first thought was, why is there another man's hat in my car? My wife is probably cheating.
Oh my God.
Just wait, it's not done yet.
Yeah, that's the reason. That's a logical conclusion.
Yeah. That's an anxious conclusion. Yeah. For the record, I have no reason at all to believe she is cheating. So I confronted my wife about it and asks if she knows anyone by this name, and I showed her the hat. She said she has no clue, but then she started raising her voice at me when I questioned her. Then she started crying about why I would even think cheating was a possibility. She says that I always know where she goes whenever she goes out, and her location is always turned on. I never check that stuff anyways. We tried looking the name up, but I couldn't find anything. I really want to believe my wife, but am I really wrong for being suspicious here?
Were the car windows open? Could somebody have thrown that hat in?
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, we don't know.
And well, you know, say and no. Could somebody have confronted? I confronted her instead of too, just, yeah. I just have, oh, wow, I found this hat. And then
right.
I wonder
why
they
asked me a question.
Confront, it means that.
Defensive.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you got defensive. Mm-hmm. So you have reason to worry. So you obviously don't.
Well, since your first conclusion was that she was cheating on you, you literally found a hat in your car and now your wife is cheating on you.
Yeah. And once again, could it be that somebody saw an army hat out on the street that somebody else dropped and know you're in the army, so they went, oh, okay, it must be his hat.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw it in their car.
Yeah, 100%.
And where was it in the car? Was it on the passenger seat? Was it,
you know, on the passenger seat?
It was tucked somewhere.
Yeah, it was right on the passenger seat.
So there's an edit on this. There's they followed up with the story. Are we done discussing
this main part? Well, no, but there's more to it than that. Yeah. So, you know, the confronted part is not healthy.
No.
Like, you should just be able to ask the question, I saw a hat in the car. Any idea where it came from?
Yeah, because her reaction could be that she's angry that he
confronted her.
She could be literally upset.
Yeah, that
she thought he was cheating. Yeah, he thought she was cheating.
Well, he came at her in an aggressive standpoint, accusing her of all this stuff. She could have been totally fine, not doing anything wrong. Next thing you know, her partner's just on her about something that's not even a thing. Of course, she's going to be upset. Like, I would be upset.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, you can obviously handle it accordingly.
Well, no, but that, see, there's that other lesson.
Yeah,
is that could be. If she was fully aware and conscious, she's going to notice that he's confronting, and she's going to go, okay, I can see you're confronting. What's the problem?
What's going on?
You seem to be upset. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm noticing you're upset. You seem to be confronting me about something. Do you think I was cheating? And if she's not cheating, she has no reason to get defensive.
If she handles it from that way. Because again, if she doesn't know her triggers and doesn't know how to handle conflict, then she'll
come off that way. And then he's going to think she is cheating.
Yes.
And then they're going to
go big old circle
and that's called the drama triangle. Yes. And here we go.
That's right.
Yes.
And it could be solved if we're secure. That's all.
Yeah. Okay. So you want us to hear the edit?
Yeah.
Edit, we solved the issue. Turns out I'm just a huge idiot. This morning I went in to get vaccinated. I guess when I left, I ended up grabbing somebody else's hat. So my wife, rightfully so, it hurt at the lack of trust. I feel bad. Thank you for all your helpful comments, though. So
there you go.
It was his own doing.
So actually, put him in the right track.
It was someone else's hat that he grabbed.
That he grabbed.
It was his action.
It's called the ladder of inference,
It's interesting.
Right?
Yes, like,
that's exactly what it is.
Where your brain will go if you're not aware of the things you're dealing with. Like, your action led you to this, and now you're accusing someone else of something. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
We do a lot of that in leadership, right? Like, if you saw somebody take a pencil and then throw it across the room, you would say, oh, they're really childish or this or that. And you don't know. Could be that there was something hot on the,
Yeah.
You don't know. All you know is what you observed. Yeah, you just observe them doing that. You can't say why they did it.
Yeah.
Right? So you have 100%. To ask. Be curious.
Yep.
Yeah.
As simple as that.
That was a very good one.
All right.
That's all, people.
All the advice.
So that's all we get?
Yeah.
That's all we get.
We did a good... I think we're over an hour now.
Are we?
Yeah.
Excellent.
So let us know in the comments if you thought that was an interesting episode. We'd like to do more of this kind of stuff. And once again,
next time we might do the advice of the advice.
Yeah, we might look at columns of how people give advice, and then we're going to look at that advice and go, why is that not good advice? Why it is good advice? Because too many people.
Granted that we understand the platform, right, of giving advice and wanting to sell columns or sell papers or whatever it is, or websites, but
But there's almost too much advice giving nowadays.
Coming from a wide variety of sources. Is people who have no background, like they don't have enough information.
But why are you seeking advice from other people about your life?
That's the one thing.
That's the question
always,
that we talk about all the time,
all
right?
The time. Like, because if you're taking responsibility, then you should be able to search and have knowledge.
Yourself. You're not going to have somebody living in your house 24 hours a day to give you advice on everything. Let's let's understand ourselves and start living out our lives.
Why are you trusting someone, a complete stranger who doesn't know you, right, to give you advice?
And they might give you advice on this one tiny element based on the perspective that you're giving them that they have no awareness of the other side.
That's right.
I mean, we're getting to a pretty minimal advice at that point.
Yeah.
You're going to get a canned answer.
You, you get an opinion. You get a, this is what
biased.
I think, but I really don't have enough information to give you.
Well, no one hasn't. Any of the ones that we read, there was only, again, unless we have both sides.
We don't have the full story. Both sides, it's still not.
It's still
right. We could be looking at the same thing, right?
It's two completely different things.
So that's what perspective.
Cool.
Anyway,
so that was very good.
Thanks for joining us, guys.
Please subscribe on whatever podcast app you're listening
from. Are you supposed to hit the bell?
Ding.
Ding, ding, ding,
no,
ding.
Is in, no,
oh, on, yes, on YouTube, please hit the bell for the description, but subscribe to us on all the podcast apps. Give us a rating. If you want to comment, please reach out to us. We have A Conscious Partner on Instagram, Facebook. We have ACP Dr. Giselle on Instagram and ACP Jagi on Instagram. Our email.
Bruce and A Conscious Partner.
Giselle at A Conscious Partner.
And we're just ignoring mine because I don't have an official one yet, but it's not that big of a deal.
That's interesting voice.
Yes. Our website is aconsciouspartner.com.
And we have the four free foundation events and the Do I Love Myself event that is always floating around somewhere.
Five free events.
That you can come to. And they're in depth. Like, go look at the reviews on the website. Yeah. They're in depth. They're 2.5 hours each, 2 to 2.5 hours. Yeah. You will get blown away.
If you don't get anything out of it, we're giving you your money
back. Yeah, you get your money back.
Well, that's why you're not paying anything into it. What does it hurt to try? Come learn some new information and see how it helps you in your life.
No, if you can learn anything, those four foundation events. The five events are life-changing.
Yes.
If you read their reviews, you'll get it.
If you've listened to us so far and you haven't taken them, you should definitely take them.
Mm-hmm.
They're well needed. Thank you guys for listening. We appreciate you all, and we hope to hear from you.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
What's this bye thing? Bye.
I like saying bye.
That's funny.